Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss financial risk and financial leverage. Financial risk is the additional risk placed on the common stockholders as a result of the decision to finance with debt. Conceptually, stockholders face a certain amount of risk that is inherent in a firm's operations. This is its business risk, which is defined as the uncertainty and projections of future EBIT, or earnings before interest and taxes, NOPAT, which is net operating profit after tax, and ROIC. If a firm uses debt or financial leverage, then the business risk is concentrated on the common stockholders. To illustrate, let's suppose 10 people decide to form a corporation to manufacture flash memory drives. There is a certain amount of business risk in the operation. If the firm is capitalized only with common equity, and if each person buys 10% of the stock, then each investor shares equally in the business risk. Because they remember, each person buys 10%, so they are equally weighted in the amount of stock that they own. However, suppose the firm is capitalized with 50% debt and 50% equity. With five of the investors putting up their money in purchasing debt and the other five putting up their money by purchasing the equity. In this case, the five debt holders are paid before the five stockholders. So virtually all of the business risk is borne by the stockholders. Thus, the use of debt or financial leverage concentrates business risk on the stockholders. Now we've added more debt onto our balance sheet. Now, the debt holders don't have to assume the risk of the debt. The only thing that they have to assume the risk on the debt is not being repaid, but the financial constraint that it puts on the company, it doesn't affect those debt holders. It affects the shareholders because now they have extra debt leverage pressure to worry about repaying. To illustrate the impact of financial risk, we can extend the Strasburg Electronics example. Strasburg initially decided to use the technology of Plan U, which we'll see in Plan U is in the middle, right? Plan U is in the third column. We'll see Plan A, U, and L. So, initially decided to use the technology of Plan U, which is unlevered, financed with all equity, no debt. It's unlevered. But now it's considering financing the technology with $150 million of equity and $50 million in debt at an 8% interest rate shown in Plan L. Notice that Plan L denotes leverage, Plan U unlevered, right? So now we're assuming that we take on book equity at $150 million and now our debt at $50 million under Plan L. Compare plans U and L. Notice that the ROIC of 15% is the same for the two plans because the financing choice doesn't affect operations. Plan L has lower net income, $27.6 million versus $30 million, because it must pay interest. But it has a higher return on equity, 18.4%, than does Plan U. So Plan U, its return on equity is 15%, whereas Plan L has a return on equity of 18.4%. The reason why we have a higher return on our equity is because we have less equity. So the return doesn't have to be distributed over such a broad scope. We can have a more concentrated equity base or less equity, therefore deriving a higher return on the equity. So let's look at sales and profit. So net income is lower, right? Our net profit is lower under Plan L, but we are using our equity much more efficiently, driving a higher return than we did at the $30 million net income level. When the quantity sold is $76 million, both plans have an ROIC of 4.8%. The after-tax cost of debt is also 8%, which is no coincidence. As ROIC increases above 4.8%, the ROE increases for each plan, but more of Plan L than for Plan U. However, if ROIC falls below 4.8%, then the return on equity falls further for Plan L than it does for Plan U. Thus, financial leverage magnifies the return on equity for good or ill, depending on the ROIC, and is increased and increases the risk of a leveraged firm relative to the unlevered firm. So adding more risk through leverage or debt will create negative opportunities.